State Farm. This is Jessica.
Hey, Jessica, Jerry Newman. Does State Farm offer more discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good but not great drivers?
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
When you need to know.
Because there's nicotine in it, follows the same guidelines as buying cigarettes. If you're under the age of 18, you can't possess it.
On the air first, when seconds count.
We know that youth sports is one way for kids to see what they can achieve, for them to build positive relationships with adults, and for them to build positive relationships with one another. And they learn such valuable life lessons.
The news team you've come to depend on.
To sign that lease, there had to be a commitment to pay the rental income that would be necessary to make the bond payment. So today, the council, through the ordinances that we passed, gave our assent and our commitment that we would provide the financing or the funding to pay those debt service payments.
Your official weather station.
This is 32 additional homes in the price range of $175,000 to $215,000. Right now, F&K Construction, who is going to be doing all of the road work and utility work, are going through their final plat approval process.
On the air first from your official weather station, WILO.
Do you know someone who is a true community hero? Someone who has made a true difference and has a true passion for making Clinton County a better place to live? If so, here is your chance to help them get recognized. Get your nomination form at WILO, Frankfort Main Street, or Frankfort Community Public Library and return to the same locations. To be eligible, they must be a Clinton County resident and there is no age limit. The Community Hero brought to you by Frankfort's Unified Neighborhoods and your home for classic hits, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
And welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofatis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman, and we are now being joined by our very special guest on the phone, who is Indiana State High School Athletic Association President Bobby Cox. Let me get these things going. Commissioner, how are you doing this morning?
Just fine, Ken. How are you?
I'm doing just super. Is everything going well? I take it over your way?
Everything's going well with the association, and we're ramping up for the holiday season. A lot of activities even across the holiday season for our young people, and looking forward to a little time off.
You guys just got through the football season, and I take it that was a highly successful season for you guys.
It went very well. We were very pleased with both the regular season and our tournament series. We had good attendance at our state finals and tremendous viewership across our IHSA network and in Fox Sports. So we were very pleased with how the football tournament came out, very competitive championship games and a good sportsmanship and well played by all of our schools.
You guys implemented the mercy rule this year. Tell everybody how that went in your mind.
Well, it went very well. We did it during the regular season and during the sectional. And the mercy rule is a provision that when the score differential in a high school football game is 35 points or greater beginning the second half, that we would go to a running clock. And a running clock is defined as a clock that never turns off except for a score, an injury, or a timeout. And the rationale for doing that was that we had some very lopsided games. And I have a couple concerns when the games get to be 50, 60, 70 to nothing, as we were observing. Is number one, if you've got a game that's that lopsided, you've probably got a physical mismatch. And I have a health and safety concern about that. And secondly, I have a sportsmanship consideration. When we look at those kinds of games, we see some poor sportsmanship being exhibited on the field and off the field. And I happened to go to a game years ago, small school game. All the fans go through one gate, and the final score was something like 77-0. And I'm walking through the gate with fans from both sides, and there's some pretty ugly things being said between the parents of both groups. And I'm thinking to myself, this is not what high school sports is supposed to be about. And we've allowed this to occur by not having a way to get the game over with in a more timely manner. So the football coaches came together, came up with a mercy rule at 35 points or greater beginning the second half. We feel it's worked very well this year. The coaches will examine it as well as the association staff. And we'll look to see if we need to make any modifications next year.
I'm really glad you went to it, because having been from Illinois, they implemented a 40-point rule several years ago. It started just whenever it got to 40. They didn't care if it was in the first half or the second half. But they kept things going. And I really appreciated that rule from that perspective. And then also, I don't know if you remember or not, but we had a game over here, gosh, it's been, I'm going to say, 8-9 years ago, where Central Catholic just beat up on Clinton Prairie like 99-0 over here.
Right.
Yeah, so those are the type of things I understand. And it's a great thing. I'm glad you're trying to avoid those kind of things from happening.
Yeah, there's just no utility in a game for either school, which is 99-0. I mean, the winning team's not getting anything out of that. Mm-hmm. The losing team certainly is not getting anything out of that. And it's just not what high school sports is supposed to be about. So I'm happy with the way it's come out so far. And our coach association will look at it as well as the staff. And if we need to make some tweaks, like you've mentioned, maybe start it earlier in the game, we'll do that. The reason we start in the second half was that was a request of the football coaches to at least play the first half under regular timing.
Yeah, and I understand, and I think that's fine, too. I have no problem with that, unless it's totally out of hand for whatever reason. You guys have also implemented flag football now. It's 2 years old, correct?
It is. We just completed our second year of unified flag football. It's part of our unified sports program, which is the partnership between the IHSAA and Special Olympics Indiana. That partnership was born by the Student Advisory Committee of the IHSA 7 years ago, and it came because of a challenge that I issued to our young people about becoming servant leaders. And so they reached out to Special Olympics, developed this partnership, and through the partnership was an outgrowth of unified sports. There are four unified sports, track and field and flag football is the two that the IHSA sponsors, and bowling and bocce are the two that Special Olympics sponsors. We have a unified program in each of our three sports seasons for students to participate with and without intellectual disabilities together on a varsity team representing their high school. The flag football tournament just concluded its second one with our championship at Grand Park in Westfield. And we had 37 teams that participated in this year's event, up from 24 the year before. I'm very pleased with the growth of unified flag football and how our schools continue to embrace the inclusion revolution. I feel really good about where we're going and how that program is trending.
Do you see another increase next year in flag football?
I really do. You know, we've received grant money from Special Olympics North America to continue this programming. And as we continue the programming, it allows us the opportunity to provide funding to our member schools. These programs are being offered at no cost to the member school. Track and field started 7 years ago, and there was grant money provided to each of the track and field schools that chose to participate. Same has been true with unified flag football. And we hope to be able to continue that so that we can get these programs up and running. And, you know, the way we devise our unified flag football program is that we can actually multiply this tournament exponentially without really changing the format. You can play more than one unified flag football game in a day. So we've built it kind of like a basketball tournament, and you could play multiple games on the same day. You could play games at the same time, side by side, on a regulation field because the unified field is only 60 by 25 yards. So we've got the opportunity to really grow the tournament, and we really feel good about how that's all set up. And I anticipate that we could be anywhere up to 64 schools next year and have a full complement of 8 schools and 8 different sectionals.
How does that, when you have growth like this in a sport, how does that make you guys feel? I mean, it's got to make you feel like there's so much interest that maybe we didn't, that you didn't know about in the past.
Well, what I like about this, Ken, is that it's a unified program, and it speaks to the attitudes of inclusion in our schools. We developed these programs because we want kids that with and without intellectual disabilities to be able to participate together. And, you know, these students that are in our schools that have intellectual disabilities, they love their high school just like the students in the regular ed classroom. The only difference is they've not had an opportunity in their history to be able to participate and represent their school. Now they can. They can go out with pride and wear the name of the school on the front of their jersey and represent their high school just like their regular ed classmates do. And for that, I feel really good about what we're doing and the fact that it's changing the climate in our high schools. And high school should be a place where we learn about inclusion. And we all of us have differences and all of us have uniqueness, but we can all coexist together and we can all work together for the common good.
I'm going to ask this question because this next one, simply because I think it would be something possibly for smaller schools who don't have any opportunity to play football. And that is, have you guys ever considered implementing 7-on-7 as a sport?
We've not looked at 7-on-7, but there's been some preliminary conversation among small groups about 8-man football.
Okay.
You know, some states, you mentioned Illinois. Illinois has 8-man football. There are other states further out in the Midwest that have 8-man, and I believe even Kansas may still play 6-man football.
I believe you're right.
In smaller schools, we've got some opportunities where we might be able to do that. It's a different set of rules. It's a totally different mechanic for the officials. But I think those conversations will continue amongst our small schools. 319 member schools play football, 11-man football in Indiana. We have 412 member schools, so just under 100 schools do not play football. So this might be an opportunity for some of those schools if they so choose to do that. And we've not done anything formally. These have been informal discussions amongst the coach association and our staff. And as we continue to have those discussions and survey some interest levels of those almost 100 schools about maybe playing 8-man football, that might be a conversation that'll take on some more meaning moving forward.
Okay. The other reason I brought that up, because I know also in Illinois, back when I was over there, they had, you know, a co-op rule where if a team, you know, if a school didn't have a football team and then the kids wanted to go play that sport, they could, you know,
right,
have that rule and join that school. Has there been any thought about that possibly, or are you just going to let
that? There has been.
Okay.
There has been some conversation about co-opting of schools. And, again, it's been informal. There's never been a proposal forwarded to the board of directors to create a co-op situation. There would have to be some significant discussion amongst principals and athletic administrators about what a co-op would look like in Indiana. What's the maximum size of the school enrollment before a co-op would be allowed, and how would that be fashioned? There'd just be a lot of logistics. You know, it's one of those situations, Ken, where the devil's in the detail.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would have to go through and have some, you know, good conversation about what that looks like in each of our schools, those smaller schools, and at the same time, you don't want to lose the identity of those other schools. And sometimes co-ops will, you'll lose the identity of one of the other schools, and I don't think our members want to do that.
Right.
So it's going to take some significant conversation and some good thought to get to a place where we may co-op and provide opportunities for smaller schools to come together and field a team of some nature.
You know, you've brought up sportsmanship at least twice in this conversation. I know there's been some issues with officials are getting tired of listening to particularly the adult fans, and I've seen a couple of editorials you guys have put out. How bad is it really in your guys' minds?
Well, I think the majority of our member schools are doing the right thing. But as we all know, a few bad apples can spoil the bunch. And we've had some egregious sportsmanship issues. I saw, you know, with social media the way it is today, you know, you're getting your information instantaneously in 140-character messages. And last night I saw that there was a fight in the stands at one of our games. And that's the second one in within the last 2 weeks. And unfortunately, society is bringing their troubles off the street, out of the community, into the gymnasiums. Now, I will tell you that our student athletes and our coaches are doing better. Our sportsmanship numbers for unsporting behavior amongst students and amongst coaches is going down. But our fan ejections are going up. They're up 46%. And I don't think that's a bad thing. If we've got adults that can't come into our gymnasiums and into our stadiums and behave like adults with compassion for these young people, then they don't need to be there. Mm-hmm. And if they are in a place where they are disrupting the contest to a place where the contest cannot be conducted properly, then they need to be excused. And I think our school administrators, with the support of our contest officials, if we find a gymnasium where the game can't be carried on properly, then we're going to stop the game and we're going to invite those people to leave the gym.
I know, you know, and of course, and it seems like the last two or three years there's been more and more brought up about, you know, teams having not being able to play postseason due to things like this. And I applaud you guys for that.
Well, I hate to put a situation to get to an extreme where young people don't get to participate in our postseason.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, adults have to be accountable. And there has to be some measure taken for adult accountability. And if we have to remove adults from games, we're going to do that. But it's a last resort when we have to take a school out of a tournament or some kind of act that violates our bylaws. But at the end of the day, there has to be accountability. And if it requires a drastic measure of taking a school out of the tournament to get people's attention, the association is not afraid to do that.
Okay. What does the future look like for you guys?
I think the future is bright for high school sports as long as we have adults that understand the purpose of what we're trying to do. The IHSA has been in existence for 119 years. And the reason it was formed was to make sure that athletics is subservient to the academic missions of our schools. We need to make sure we remember first and foremost these are students and that they are there to get an education to prepare them for the next step of life, whatever that is. It could be to go to a four-year institution. It could be to go into a two-year institution. It could be to go into the military to protect our freedom so we are allowed to do what we're doing on a weekly and yearly basis. It might be in the local law enforcement and fire protection to protect us at home. Whatever it is, our job is to make sure those kids are ready to do that. Now, athletics plays a big part of that, and I'm a firm believer that athletics teaches lessons that you cannot learn in the traditional classroom. You learn things like perseverance and grit, determination and loyalty, and all the things that athletics brings, but they have to work together. I think the future is bright so long as we keep our priorities in line, and as long as our adults are accountable and give guidance and structure to our young people, I think the future is very bright.
Okay. I have to ask this since we're in basketball season. Are we ever going back to one-class basketball or something like that?
I doubt it very seriously.
That's
Ken.
What I thought, too.
We've got 412 member schools, and two-thirds of our schools have less than 1,000 students in that member school. And you know, when we made the decision back in 1997-98 to go to multiple classes, the largest school in our enrollment had about 3,000 kids in it. The smaller schools still have the same enrollment they did back then. Well, today, those small schools still have that same enrollment, but our larger schools have 5,400 kids.
Yeah.
And some have 4,500. The gap continues to get bigger, and I don't see us going back to fewer classifications. If anything, I've had more conversation about going to more. You know, so, we went from 5-6 in football.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot of conversation about going from 4-5 in basketball. The gap just continues to get larger when you have Carmel and North Central and Ben Davis and Warren Central and Penn and Lake Central. You have schools that are 4,000 and up. Well, the schools that still have 250 have no interest in playing that school. Or even the ones that have 1,000 kids have no interest in playing that school. So I don't see that trend going backward. I see it moving forward.
The other thing, and kind of correlation to that, is that I take it you don't see, you know, a public and private situation to where those schools, you separate those schools and they have their own separate tournaments.
No, I don't, because the IHSA is a membership of 412 schools that includes public, private, parochial, and charter schools.
Okay.
There's never been a division of that. And the moment you do that, you start discriminating against one group of schools versus the other. Sure. You're looking at litigation. You're looking at bad member relations. And this is one reason why the Rule 2-5 of our bylaws was passed several years ago. A lot of people call it a success factor. At the end of the day, Ken, what people really get nervous about is who wins our tournament. I mean, it's just that simple. And when you, if we went to class sports because the largest schools were dominating, and that was the reason we did it.
Mm-hmm.
We went to multiple classes because the large schools were winning all the tournaments. Well, if that's the case, and now we've divided into classes, and then we have a certain group of schools, whether they be public, private, parochial, or charter, winning a preponderance of championships below the largest enrollment class, then those schools need to move up and play better competition, and that's what's happening.
Okay.
Since we've done that, and this is the third cycle that we've gone through Rule 2-5 and the success factor, I hear very, very little conversation about public versus private.
Okay.
I hear more about winning versus losing.
Which is probably what it comes down to anyway.
Yes, it does.
Commissioner, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
Well, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to visit today and also to thank our listeners for their support of high school sports. We call this education-based athletics, and it's for young people, and the IHSA is going to continue to provide programming for these young people and do what's best in the eyes of our youth.
Hey, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you on. Best of luck to you guys in the future. If there's anything we can do at our end to help you guys out, please let me know, okay?
Thank you, Ken. I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. Take care of yourself.
All right. You
too. Yeah, bye-bye. That's been IHSAA Commissioner Bobby Cox, who's been our guest for the last 20 minutes or so. We're going to take our last break of the show. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper, and Tony Theofanis.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
Life insurance is one of those subjects that make people want to change the subject, rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfurt focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on, by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house insurance, or life without having to give up college insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on with your family. Call State Farm agent Susan Casper in Frankfurt at 765-659-5678 and put the life back in life insurance.
Do you know someone who is a true community hero? Someone who has made a true difference and has a true passion for making Clinton County a better place to live? If so, here is your chance to help them get recognized. Get your nomination form at WILO, Frankfort Main Street, or Frankfort Community Public Library and return to the same locations. To be eligible, they must be a Clinton County resident and there is no age limit. The Community Hero, brought to you by Frankfort's Unified Neighborhoods and your
Your home for classic hits, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
And welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. Tremendous thanks to Bobby Cox for joining us this morning. I really appreciate having him on. I was going to call him here shortly, but he went ahead and called us. I love that even better. And that's the kind of guest we're trying to get on this program. So if you have any kind of suggestions, we had Denny Shoup on early, who represents Clinton Central area. If you have any suggestions for things like that, feel free to pass them on to me. We like to have some different, we're trying to get as many different guests on and, you know, expose everything we can for you all here on Saturday morning. I want to do a little college basketball here real quick before we get too much further on, because we know what's going on down at Bankers Life Fieldhouse today. We'll get to that here in just a second. But first of all, the Big Ten from last night, Penn State kept their ranking where about the top 20 half. They pounded Central Connecticut State 87-58 last night. Big Ten games today, of course, the Crossroads Classic down at Bankers Life. Coming up here at noon, about a couple hours from now, you're going to have Indiana against Notre Dame. That's a game I think the Hoosiers should win and should win fairly handily. But then again, you know, to see, you know, Notre Dame can shoot the ball from the perimeter fairly well. So it's going to be interesting to see how that ends. And at 2:30, you got Butler and Purdue, which should be a heck of a game today. Butler's playing very well. Purdue is, I think, let me see, I think, what are they now, 7-4 after they beat Ohio U, 69-51. That was Tuesday night over in Athens, Ohio, after they lost their first game in the Big Ten to Nebraska over the weekend. So should be a good ball game, a pair of pretty good ball games over the Crossroads Classic. Indiana Notre Dame at noon, and then Butler and Purdue at 2:30. And those are on the Big Ten Network today. So ESPN and the Big Ten Network. So they're both going to share that, I guess, for us today. Other Big Ten games today, also at noon on BTN. Michigan is hosting Presbyterian. That should be a fairly easy game for Juwan Howard and company. Then at 1 o'clock, and this is something I did not realize happened, because this game has always been played on Saturday nights down in St. Louis. But Illinois and Missouri are playing at 1 o'clock down at the Enterprise Center in St. Louis. So that's going to be interesting. I did not know they had changed that, because every time in the past, they had always kept it as a Saturday night game. Other games involving the Big Ten today, and I've got to thumb through here quite a little quickly, because I get down to several other games here kind of important beforehand. But at 5 o'clock, BTN is going to have Wisconsin hosting Milwaukee. That game starts at 5 at the Kohl Center. Then also tonight at 5:30 on ESPN2, Minnesota goes on the road as they're down at Oklahoma State to face the Cowboys down there tonight. Then at 6 o'clock out at Nebraska. Nebraska is hosting North Dakota. Also, a couple other big games tonight. A very surprisingly good DePaul team is playing Northwestern. The game's at 8:30 on CBS Sports. And also at 9 o'clock on BTN tonight has Cincinnati against Iowa. Some other big games of note for the day today. UCLA and North Carolina get together today. Now, this is the game that, you know, the way these two teams have been playing for most of the year doesn't mean a heck of a lot, because North Carolina is without Cole Anthony now. UCLA has now got Mick Cronin as their head coach, and I really couldn't stand Mick Cronin when he was coaching Cincinnati. But those two teams get together this afternoon at 3 o'clock. So I wouldn't say that North Carolina is definitely struggling now without Anthony, and it's going to be interesting to see how they go ahead and handle things. But the real big game today, besides the Crossroads Classic games down at Indy, it starts at noon over at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia as Kansas and Villanova get together on Fox. That game is at noon today. That's the really big game in college basketball today. We've talked about the Clinton Central Holiday Tournament quite a little bit. I wanted to get the schedule to you for this. Next Friday night, the 27th, we start at 6:30. It's going to be Clinton Prairie against Tri-Central, and then Central and Kara will play the second game of that night. And then on the Saturday night, they'll go with the losers playing about 6:30, and the winners playing at 8 o'clock. Well, as we said earlier, we'll have all those games for you here on your station for the high school athletics, WILO. We're going to have those for you next Friday and Saturday. We've also had games on WILO TV, HoosierLandTV.com. If you like to have your thoughts in on that, how you've liked those, how things have been going on that, so drop us a line and let us know how those have been going for you. One last thing I need to get to, and I'm not real sure where I stand on this as of yet, but the NBA is discussing a $1 million per player purse for the winners of a proposed 30-team in-season tournament that league sources have told ESPN. The league is hopeful that additional financial incentive would motivate players to treat a new tournament with a competitive fervor. The NBA wants an in-season tournament that would begin with pool play as part of the regular season schedule before the teams with the best records advance to an 8-team single elimination tournament that would culminate in mid-December, according to league sources. Some team executives are skeptical this will be the case among the concerns of top front office officials discussing these ideas with the league office. Many suspect the star players might prefer that a 5-day scheduling break will come with not qualifying for a tournament rather than competing for the financial reward of a winner-take-all event that requires a quarterfinal, semifinal, and title round to become champion. Without the buy-in from star players, there's obviously questions about whether the tournament would even be equipped to achieve its ambitions of increasing fan interest, revenue, and TV ratings. The average NBA player makes approximately $9 million, but some superstars make 4 and 5 times that salary. Especially among big market owners with larger home financial gates. Finances have also been an overriding concern about the league's in-tournament season idea. The NBA would like to go down to a 78-game regular season, if that is possible. The changes need 23 teams to go ahead and approve this so it could begin for their 75th season, which would be for the 2021-2022 season. So something that's out there, it's going to be interesting to see how that happens, and we'll see what goes on from there. That's going to wrap it up for our show for today. Great thanks to our guests who have been Denny Shoup from out of Clinton Central and Indiana High School Athletic Association Commissioner Bobby Cox. We really appreciate those people, our guests. We will be back again next week. So until then, take care of yourself. Have a great week. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And we'll see you all next week. See you later. Bye-bye.
This has been Inside the Huddle on WILO, brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, and Tony Theofanis, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Join us next Saturday at 9 a.m. for another edition of Inside the Huddle on WILO.